worthy is the Lamb. I want to thank our Heavenly Father for allowing us to come and to be here again today on Sabbath. We should not take these opportunities for granted. The devil, if he had his way, you would not be here today. Not just not in church, he would have you laid up in a hospital somewhere or in a grave. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Worthy is the Lamb. We're in church today, we're able to be here, and we thank God for it. And we are happy to give his name praise and glory and honor today. I must beg your forgiveness today. When service is over, I will not be able to go into the lobby to shake hands today. And my reason is because many of you may know. If you don't, I want to tell you now. Brother Sherwin Ruggles, as we know, passed away, and we're having his memorial service today at 5 o'clock in our Keystone Room right across the street. And we invite you to come and to be a part of that, to be a source of comfort to the family. I and the others will have to be there as well. And so it means when service is over, I've got to get to Sabbath dinner that was planned already and then try to get back in time. And I've got to be here early, obviously, to make sure that things are the way they need to be. And so if you would allow me today, I will not shake hands at the door in order to try to get out a little bit quicker. We'll see what happens. It's a experiment. It may not work, but anyway, you'll forgive me, I'm sure. And hopefully you will join us as well today. I think Frontline Community Services is going to be involved right afterwards in putting on a little repast for us as well. So 5 o'clock and maybe right at 6, we'll have the repast in the fellowship hall so we can gather together. So if you have the time, or if you don't, carve out some time and come out, be with us and the family at 5 o'clock today as we celebrate the life of our dear, dear brother. We are beginning, excuse me, we are beginning a three-part sermon series today. This Sabbath, our sermon will be the infant church. Next Sabbath, we'll talk about a couple of other things. I want to give you all of the things right now, but I do want you to know that the title of our series for the next 3 weeks is When We Were Young. And we're looking at the early church, the way the church was when it was still young, in the book of Acts. This week will be Acts chapter 2, next week Acts chapter 11, and then the following Sabbath, Acts chapter 15. Thank you, son. And so if you wouldn't mind coming and being here with us and just joining us for those Sabbaths and being a part of it, we're hoping that we can garner some things, get some information about what things were like in the beginning of our church, at its infancy, to see if there's any way that we might be able to sort of recapture some of those things that we had at the beginning. Do you remember when you were young, how much better certain things were? Do you remember being able to go out and play all day and come inside and none of your joints hurt at all? Do you remember that? That was a long time ago for me. I remember being able to eat candy for an entire day. Waking up the next morning, felt like $1 million. Nowadays, I eat one thing wrong, and I wake up the next day with a stomach ache, or I can't go to sleep that night, or things were always... Now, there's some things that weren't better when I was young. There were some things that I learned over the years that make being around for a while actually beneficial. But for the most part, when it comes to my life, when I think back, when I was young, there are a lot of things that were better. And I think it's true also for our church. When our church was young, there were some things that we had as part of our situation that we have neglected and forgotten about. I hope we can remember those things over the next few Sabbaths. So today's message is entitled The Infant Church, and we will begin after I pray in Acts chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God that you have preserved for us so that we might learn of you. And we want to be able to see Jesus Christ today. We want to see him high and lifted up, and we trust that the word is true, that if he's lifted up, that everyone will be drawn into him. So let Jesus be the ultimate magnet today. May he be seen. May we be drawn. May we be changed for the better. In his name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38 and reading to verse 47. We had a very nice dramatic reading of the text today, didn't we? That was excellent. Thank you so much for that. And we're going to start in verse 38 and read to verse 47. Since we heard it We read it in our hearing today. I want to read it together for the service now, and we have it on the screen. If you would join me, I believe this is the New King James Version. Here's what the Bible says. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one according in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who says amen to God's word today? Amen. The infant church. This is the greatest miracle of salvation the church has ever seen. Jews from all over the world listened intently as Peter preached the word of God as fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and each audience member heard and understood in his or her own language. And then an incredible feat occurs. 3,000 people are baptized and added to the church in one day. Can you imagine that many people getting baptized? It's the single largest baptism ever recorded in Scripture, and the most remarkable because of the outpouring of God's Spirit on the waiting congregation. Something new is happening in Jerusalem. The church is so new that it doesn't even have its name yet. That doesn't happen for another 9 chapters. In fact, we'll look at that on next Sabbath. Right now, they are barely even organized. They have no officers. They have no official pastor. And the church building has not even been built yet. And yet, they're all on fire for Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, I want to say just real quick that so many of us spend so much time emphasizing the wrong things when it comes to our Christian walk. We don't really need the things that we think we need in order to have the kind of church that we used to have when things started off. They didn't have their pastor, they didn't have a church building, they didn't have any officers, and yet they were on fire for Jesus Christ. We are the church. Jesus lives in us. All he needs is us, and we've got a church. We got to get in touch with the infant church and their values. Forget about all that other stuff. Stuff is just gravy. The infant church presents to us an ideal time when the church was free from corruption and had only good intentions to advance the kingdom of God. And we can learn a lot from this time in our church's history. There are 3 commendable characteristics that we can see in this passage, in this infant church. And I want to show you those 3 qualities today. The first is in chapter 2, verses 42 and 43. I want to read it to you one more time. Here's what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2, 42 and 43. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Who says amen to God's word today? The New King James uses the words continued steadfastly when describing the infant church and their level of commitment to God. But the Greek gives us a bit more color when it talks about the kind of level of support that they had for the church. The Greek uses a word that is translated devoted. Can you say devoted? The infant church was devoted to the cause of God. Therefore, the first commendable characteristic of the infant church is devotion. Devotion. The Greek uses a common word that connotes a steadfast
and single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. That's what devotion means. The early church was immensely devoted to the cause of God. They were steadfast about it. They were not double-minded. Not about this. And if we want to recapture the spirit of the early church, we've got to first learn to be devoted to the things of God just like that. Here's how the NIV puts it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see that? Notice there are four areas of devotion that the early church was committed to. And all four of these categories of devotion, they can be found in our Sabbath worship services that we have today. In other words, these are four characteristics that we would associate with church. The first one is the Word of God. Anybody come to church today and didn't bring your Word of God? Now, you may not have a paper Bible, but you at least have the Bible on your device, right? That means everybody came to church today with the Word of God, right? If you didn't come with the Word of God, you at least expected to receive the Word of God at some point while you're here, right? The Word of God is part of our services. Why? Because it was in the early church. When the Bible says they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine, that is referencing a body of material considered authoritative because it was the message about Jesus of Nazareth proclaimed by accredited apostles. It included all that Jesus himself taught, especially the gospel, which was centered in his death, burial, and resurrection. So scholars believe that the same apostles' doctrine can be found today in the books of the New Testament. What an amazing thing. Imagine hearing the New Testament from the lips of the guys who actually walked beside the gospel. No wonder they were devoted to the Word of God. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship. The word translated as fellowship here is a word in Greek. The word is koinonia. Can you say that? Koinonia. Very good. Did a really good job with that. It refers to corporate fellowship. The corporate fellowship of believers in worshiped God. So this is not just getting together to have fun. We think that's okay, but that's not what koinonia is about. Excuse me. Man, I don't know what that is. Boy, I'm glad you brought this water, but it ain't working. Something caught in my throat. Sorry, I don't mean to do that in the mic, but I'm trying to get it out. Might need another bottle, John. Anyway, koinonia is really about not just getting together to have fun. It's about gathering together in order to worship the Creator God in corporate praise and adoration. What we're doing right now. God loves to receive our adoration and our praise. Do you know that? And he receives it with gladness when we do it like this in a corporate setting. God loves community because he himself is community. A unity of three co-eternal persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a community. And when we come to him in corporate worship, that pleases God. The infant church was devoted to fellowship. Thirdly, the infant church was devoted to the communion service. Now, the breaking of bread in this verse refers specifically to the Holy Communion that ever reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The infant church made the communion a vital part of their worship service. They did so because of the words of Jesus that said, "This do ye in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 25. The infant church understood how easily we forget, and they never wanted to overlook the life, death, burial, and resurrection of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they devoted themselves to this breaking of bread, which has to do with the communion service. Finally, the infant church was devoted to prayer. They spent countless hours in prayer and supplication as they begged the Holy Spirit for his outpouring on their new movement. They wanted to preserve the vital connection with God that they knew that they would need in order to remain in constant prayer. They knew they had to do so in order to really be successful in the world. So they devoted themselves to prayer. Now here's my question. I wonder how devoted to these four things we are today as a family of faith. Now, I don't mean how many of us like the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. I don't mean how many of us just like the Word of God, or how many of us admire fellowship, or how many come to communion, or participate in prayer. No, I'm talking about devotion. Do we have a steadfast and single-minded fidelity to these four things? Yeah, I think most of us read the Bible, but maybe only when the elder says our scripture reading today is taken from. We don't mind fellowshipping after church, but very rarely do we get to the house of God on time for the fellowship that's supposed to happen with. I'm sorry, am I stepping on? I don't mean to. We take communion once a quarter, but then after we leave service on that day, we do the exact opposite of what Jesus says the communion service is for, and we forget about Jesus. And what about prayer? Well, how many people even know when we have prayer meeting at this church? Beloved, if we're going to return to the days of the infant church, we must remember these four all-important areas of the Christian walk. We must be devoted to God's word, to fellowship, to communion, and to prayer. And when we recapture the importance of these things, we'll begin to align ourselves with the outpouring of God's Spirit on our church. And I, for one, need the Spirit of God. What about you today? So it turns out that I have been devoted to the same woman for more than 20 years now. I wasn't saying it for that, but thank you. And I noticed that devotion to a person actually has done something to change me. There are things that I had absolutely no interest in at all that I now know, understand, and am well versed in simply because of my devotion to this woman, April. I'll give you a couple examples. I know the different cuts of a dress. You know, A-line, pencil, you know what I'm saying? I know these things. I know them because I sometimes have to buy my wife clothing, and in order to get it right, I have to know what would fit right. And by the way, I'm very good at it now. I could look on the rack and see what will fit and won't, even if she's not there. I bring it home, and usually it's right. Right, right, babe? Yeah, that's true. I'm pretty good at it. It's because of devotion. I know the difference between women's sizes and juniors' sizes. I learned it the hard way the first time. I was trying to figure out, I was like, what's going on here? Junior sizes are odd-numbered, and women's sizes are even-numbered. They're all two sizes apart, or I should say, each one size is two, you know what I'm saying? So the difference between a four and a six is only one size. There is no five, unless you're talking about juniors, but in juniors, it's the difference between a five and a seven. That's the, you understand? Anyway, this is stuff I didn't know before, but I know it now, and I know it for real, for real. I know what thread count is. Now, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, so you're not even laughing. It's no big deal to you. This is a big deal. Now, let me reiterate, before April, I had absolutely zero interest in any of these things. But now, I'm actually well-versed in it. Because of my devotion to her, something has happened so that now her interests have become mine. The thing she cares about, I care about. And not just because I want her to be happy, or that I want to be happy myself. It's just something that happens when you're devoted to a person. The same exact thing is true with God. Do you realize that the moment we make devotion to God an important thing, that what happens is we begin to take on His value system? So that if you have a problem liking other people who are not like you, I would say you're probably not devoted to Jesus. You know why? Because that's part of His value system. You can look all the way down the list. If you have a hard time accepting the things that Jesus talks about in His word, I would say to you, you're probably not devoted to the Lord. We need devotion. The infant church displayed the commendable characteristic of devotion, and we need that today. Who says amen? Amen. Here's the second thing. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Look at what the Bible says here. Now all who believed were together. I love this. All who believed were what? Together. Everybody's together and had how many things in common? All things in common. Now look at 45. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Who says amen to that today? I should test it, but I'm pretty sure that amen was quieter than the other one was right before that. The second commendable characteristic of the infant church is togetherness. Can you say togetherness? The early church displayed a level of oneness that can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit. And we know it was not simply togetherness because of like their human togetherness, because of the way that it manifests itself. Where else in history, in anywhere, have you ever seen the statement, they had everything in common? You're not going to read that anywhere else. The infant church was imbued with the Holy Spirit, and it transformed their behavior and their worldview so much that they altered the way that they related to the things that they owned. Now, what was once private ownership has now become the property of everyone. Members of the infant church are willingly selling their possessions so that they could give it to others and their new family. What a stark contrast to the way that we live our lives today in this country. Today, we have entire theologies dedicated to the American dream. We've actually twisted scripture to support our American theology. Now, private ownership and amassing wealth is a sign of righteousness. We love our money and our things so much these days that we defend ourselves. Anytime a preacher says anything remotely that sounds like he might be talking against the American dream. In fact, we never amen. But they had the Holy Spirit, and you could tell because they did something that is against their nature. They started selling stuff that they owned to make sure that everyone together could have in common. Now, the genuineness of their togetherness is found in the way they sold their possessions. You're not faking when you do something like this. I've said it before. I can tell what's important to you if you show me just one bank statement. You show me what you spend your money on, I'll show you what's important to you. Once you put your money where your mouth is, you demonstrate what you really care about. When the infant church sold what they have to give to others so they can provide for them, what they showed was the highest value we have is each other. They valued their new family. They valued the work of God. We got to get back to that point somehow. So I talked about April a second ago. I'm going to talk about her again. She is the youngest of two. She's got an older sister. April's older sister, Kim, is still like this today. She has this thing that she does whenever she gets the impression that April likes something. Started when they were little girls. April might notice something that Kim has, and she might compliment it. Wow, I really like that purse that you have. And Kim would almost always say, here, you can have it. And April would always say, really? I mean, I wasn't doing that so I could get it, but, you know, really? Are you sure? She would say, yeah. And she would say, well, why are you giving this to me? And Kim would always say, because you're my sister. What other reason does she have to have? It's almost like what she was saying. Kim loved April so much. That was her little sister. She had no problem giving things to her just if April seemed like she might be interested in it. Now, she also knew that because they lived in the same household, she could always borrow that thing back from April, so it wasn't a big deal. But there was still something to that. She had no problem giving it to her because they were blood, they were sisters, they loved each other, so she had no issue with that. It wasn't a problem at all. Beloved, I need you to know that our church family is just like that sibling relationship. At least it's supposed to be. We may not have been born from the same mother, but we've all been bought by the same son. And his blood is thicker than the blood that flows through our veins that we may have in common with some of our family members. And once we get in touch with that connection, it becomes easy for us to give to each other because we're part of the same family. That's my sister. That's no big deal. That's my brother. Togetherness in the infant church was proven by the way they related to what they owned. The early church, the infant church, had togetherness. Devotion, togetherness, what's the third one? Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. This is the last of the three. Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. You see that? From house to house? They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here's the third one. The third and final commendable characteristic of the infant church is consistency. Can you say consistency? Consistency. Here's what it means. The ability to maintain a particular standard or repeat a particular task with minimal variation. Consistency. I can count on you because you are consistent. The people of God in Acts chapter 2 were conspicuously consistent about their time with God and their time with each other. The Bible says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, but it didn't stop with the temple. The Bible also reveals they broke bread together at home. According to scholars, the first reference to breaking bread in 42 is a reference to the breaking of bread during the Lord's Supper as they celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I talked about that already. But here in verse 46, they're breaking bread together from house to house. This is not the formal Eucharist, but an informal act of intentional fellowship with believers. This is where they get together and simply foster and encourage healthy relationships. It's an outgrowth of who they had become, and now they want it to be part of their movement in every way. By the way, we have a fellowship lunch that we do here at our church every other Sabbath. And you may notice that my family is not often at the fellowship lunch. You know why we're not there? Because usually someone from church has invited us to eat in their home. And here's what I found out. Fellowship lunch is good, but we're all together. There's some things you can't learn about people until you sit down across from them at their table at their own home. Something different happens. You learn about their likes and dislikes. You learn about family as you look at the pictures and stuff. There's something that happens when we sit down and we start eating together. We open up and share in a different way than when we do at, say, a potluck. And so I love going to people's homes and to meet with them. And I believe it's part of what the early church would do. They understood that. Going from house to house and breaking bread with each other got them to know each other better. There was fellowship outside of just coming to church on Sabbath. Am I saying something foreign? Is this like, this must be like blasphemy or something. The people in the early church knew each other at Tacoma Park and at home. Well, not Tacoma Park, but you know what I'm saying. We're supposed to, anyway. The infant church was not simply meeting together for 2 hours on Sabbath morning. This is something they continued in, the Bible says. They were consistent with it. It wasn't something they took off and they put on, depending on the day of the week. They weren't just religious at church and then regular at work. These were followers of Christ in the infant church, and they were completely changed, so much so that it oozed out of them all the time. It didn't matter if they were in the temple courts. They could have been at home or bartering for food. They were consistent Christians all the time. They had integrity. Do you know what integrity means? Integrity is the state of being whole, as opposed to being divided. You understand what I'm saying? Some of us live divided lives. We're one way at work, we're a different way at church, and then we're a totally separate way at home. The infant church didn't have that problem. They were consistent. They were people of integrity. They were the state of being whole. Beloved, we need to return to the same attitude in our church. We've got to do better with being the same no matter what the situation is. We must learn to be consistent with each other and with God. We've come too far. In fact, we've become too comfortable as a church with leading divided lives. And part of the comfort comes from a kind of works righteousness that we don't even really understand. We secretly believe that as long as all the good I do outweighs all the bad that I'm involved in, that in the end, I'm going to be saved. So if I give God a good praise on Sabbath, it really doesn't matter how I live during the week. So I can, you know, drink, smoke, watch pornography, lie, cheat, steal, fornicate, doesn't really matter. As long as when I get to church, I clap along with the praise team and I sing all the hymns and I act like I'm really involved. Because that's what God actually wants, right? This is the Christianity that so many of us ascribe to, and it's actually false religion. It does not characterize the philosophy of the infant church, and God is not pleased. We need consistency in our Christian walk, just like the infant church had. They were serious about their mission on Sabbath and on Monday. They were continuing in the way while they were listening to a sermon and afterwards when they went home. They were overwhelmed by the Spirit of God that had infiltrated every area of their lives, so much so they turned themselves completely over to Him. God's Spirit will not fall on us at Tacoma Park if we are not committed to the fundamental idea of commitment as Christians. Jesus wants all of you, not just a part. He wants all of your heart. So we got to become more consistent. So those are the three commendable characteristics of the infant church. One, they had devotion. Two, they fostered togetherness. And three, they displayed consistency. I want all three of those in my own life. What about you? Raise your hand if you do. If you know you can't do it without Jesus, raise your other hand. Now look up and say, I surrender. Praise the Lord. I want to close with a story. It's a true story that I heard my father tell at the end of one of his messages when I was a kid. It's a story about an Adventist preacher who had major surgery, and when he was in the recovery room, he saw a bright light coming from his window. Now, I told this story this morning, but I left out one key detail I just remembered just now. Here it is. The minister did not have any kind of drugs in his system. This is important to know because what he saw was not a figment of his imagination. He was laying there in the recovery room. This bright light comes through his window, and the light is getting increasingly brighter, so much so that eventually he has to put his hand up to block the light, and then he has to turn his face away because the light got so bright. When the light got to its brightest point, the light started talking to him. And he knew that it was the presence of an angel in his room. The angel began to speak and said to him, Pastor so-and-so, I came to tell you that you're going to make a full recovery. You're going to be fine. And he was happy to hear that. He said, but I got a message, and that's not the actual message. Here's what he said. I want you to listen to this carefully. The angel said, Jesus is coming sooner than any of your Adventist preachers are preaching. And then he said this, He would have returned already if it weren't for two prevailing sins in the church. Now, before I tell you what the two prevailing sins are, I want to just notice what it is that he said. He didn't say two prevailing sins in the world. He said there are two things happening in the church that are keeping Jesus from coming. He would have been here already if it weren't for these two things. You know what they are? Two lacks. He said there's a lack of compassion and a lack of commitment. The light started getting dimmer, and eventually it was gone. And the pastor had to sit there and contemplate the words of that angel. Jesus Christ would have already been here if we had more compassion and more commitment. Now, I'm going to say something else that I said in first service. It's going to sound like a shameless plug. But you actually have an opportunity to show some commitment tomorrow. You may not have been here to hear the announcement. We've been announcing it several weeks in a row. Tomorrow, we're having this big church cleanup. We're calling it a work bee. spring cleaning that we're doing here. And I think we have 13 different projects, 13 major things that need to happen. And we need like 125 people. If you get the one call, I already said this. They've been saying to me, there's no way we're going to get 125 people to come. I said, you know what? I think we can. I believe by God's grace, we can get 125 people to come. We start at 9 a.m. tomorrow. We got lunch provided. I think we end at 3. And what we said is, if you can't come for the whole time, even if you come for part of it, that'd be fine with us. Several things that need to be done around this place just to show some commitment to God's church. We can do that, can't we? I know you got other stuff going on. We can take a little bit of time and come out for that. We are beautifying the house of God for His glory. Lack of compassion, lack of commitment. You know what that means? That means that at the early church, they were much closer to the second coming of Jesus than we are now. You know why? Because as we just saw, they were both committed and compassionate. They didn't have a problem with love in the infant church. They loved each other so much, they sold stuff in order that everybody could have. They'd have a problem with commitment. They would see each other at church and at home. They'd have a problem with that. They were always on fire for Jesus Christ. And I believe we can get that here at Tacoma Park. Do you believe that today? Now, it's only possible through God's Spirit. So I want to ask you today, if you want to be committed to those three things that we saw today, if you want to be committed to those things as a church, why don't you stand to your feet right now? And as you stand, I'm going to pray God's Holy Spirit upon you and us as a church, that it can unify us, give us that devotion that we need, so that we can be have God's value system in our lives. We can have that love, that commitment that the angel talked about. I believe God can give that to us as a congregation. Father, I thank you that all of us are standing right now, and we're standing in faith because we know that what we're standing about, we cannot fulfill ourselves. We're begging your Holy Spirit to take control in this situation. I ask, Father, right now that for every single person who stands, man, woman, boy, or girl, that you would do something right now inside their heart to make it so that they can have the attributes of the infant Christian church. Father, give it to us by your Spirit. Outpour us with your Holy Spirit here at Tacoma Park. May we be successful in the things of God so that when you're seen coming, we can go home with you. We know that day is coming soon. Help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everyone who loves God say together, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated.